So we'll go ahead and start off with Donna, who will be talking about the Ocean Energy Task Force. There'll be time for a couple questions.
I want you to go first, then, too.
Time for questions at the end as well.
Thank you, Linda. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Don Perkins from the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, and I'm co-chairing the Ocean Energy Task Force with Beth Nagusky, who works at the Department of Environmental Protection. And I'm just going to give you a big picture overview of where this task force is headed, just to set the stage here. So the governor's charge of this task force is the following. The first, as Linda mentioned, in general, there was a terrestrial wind task force that played out 2 or 3 years ago that set the goal of installing 2,000 megawatts of wind by 2015, 3,000 by 2020, 300 megawatts of which would be in coastal waters. To just give you a sense of scale, 1,000 megawatts or a gigawatt is roughly the equivalent of Maine Yankee. So this is saying, you know, between two, by 2015, there'd be two Maine Yankees equivalent of wind energy being generated on land and starting to happen in the water, and then by 2023 equivalents of Maine Yankees. So we're talking about a lot of energy here. The 300 megawatts of ocean energy was defined way before this task force, and you know, we'll see that need to be high or low depending on how things play out. Second is strategy. What are the problems? What are the solutions? Economic, technical, regulatory for developing grid-scale ocean energy. Third is to promote research to facilitate studying and testing and understanding the impact of ocean energy. Third is capturing the benefit for Maine. How do we do this in a way that brings benefit to Maine and it doesn't just go in a transmission line and go somewhere else? Tidal and wave to encourage ocean-based tidal and wave energy where appropriate. Oil and gas, just for grins, they threw in the question of take a look at offshore oil and gas and size up what we know about that. And this was really generated by the continental shelf, the threat of opening back up to drilling back a year or so ago. And then last but not least, tweaking the legal framework, the legislative, the laws, the policies, to support effective permitting and effective consideration of ocean energy issues. The membership is a broad mix. There are two senators, two representatives, the relevant environmental agency people, George from DMR, the Department of Conservation, the Department of Environmental Protection. There are 22 members. The environmental community, Sean Mahoney from Conservation Law Foundation, Leslie Daroon from the Oak Foundation, the research community, Habib Dagher from the University of Maine, a variety of interests, Pat White really bringing a fishing industry perspective. So it's a very eclectic mix of people, Angus King, David Flanagan, former CEO of Central Maine Power. So there's a really interesting mix of users, environmentalists, researchers, utility people trying to think this through. It's an incredibly complicated question. Big picture, the question is, the issue is Maine is the most fossil fuel dependent state in the country. Okay, we're heavily dependent on oil and gas here. And, you know, we're all kind of sleeping better at night right now about the price of oil. We may be worried about our retirement funds, but we're not worried so much about what we're paying at the gas pump. But only a year ago, the question of what we're paying at the gas pump was a real threat to the viability of living in Maine for anybody who wasn't super rich. There was a concern about if you look at this red, red is the slice of the family budget on energy. So this is back in the 90s. This is now about 20% of your budget. And the track we're on, almost half your budget in another decade or so had things continued the way they are. So we have a real problem cost-wise, and then there's the whole climate change question. The interesting news is we've got an extraordinary wind resource. You're looking on land. You can see the little bits of tan and purple up in the mountains. That's an indicator of a wind quality, but then down in the lower lands, there's really not much wind resource. And then out here, you know, everybody who spent time in the water, it doesn't blow all the time, but on average, it's an extraordinary wind resource out there. It isn't just ours. Massachusetts has this wind resource, so does Rhode Island, so does New Hampshire, so do the Maritimes. And so the question of how do we think through tapping this resource, how do we think about the competitive issues with other states, with other countries, how do we think about the grid issues, a lot of complicated questions. What do we bring to the party? Well, we've got this wind resource. We've got state leadership that's very interested. The governor, the delegation, our federal delegation, Senators Snow and Collins, Representatives Kingery and Mishu, the legislature. We've had interesting demonstrations up in Morris Hill. There's a wind turbine development that is working commercially, but there's been a lot of community concern about because of the fact that the benefits, there weren't benefits brought home to the local community. On the other hand, you've got the Fox Islands Electric Cooperative out in Vinyl Haven and North Haven that have done a very interesting job building community support for significant wind development out there. We've got the environmental community involved, the research community, the utilities, the developers. There's a lot of interest from wind developers around the country and overseas. The marine construction community, we've got a very interesting capability here in Maine between BIW, Chinro, Reed & Reed, and the human capital, and this is what everybody in this room is about. We've got a coastwise community that knows how to work on the water in a very pragmatic way, and so the opportunity to build an industry around supporting wind energy is interesting. The work that this subcommittee is doing, we meet once a month. They're public meetings. We generally meet in Augusta. We're focused on sorting out the human and environmental impacts, the permitting issues, the utility grid, and energy pricing issues. The opportunity around tidal energy, oil and gas issues, the economic development opportunities, and then what can we do early? And the first thing you'll see come out of this is proposed legislation for a test site that probably the University of Maine will end up pursuing to attract the opportunity to test technology here in Maine. Where are we headed? In April, we'll do a preliminary report. In June, here in Rockport, there's an international ocean energy conference that's worth paying attention to. In October, we'll do our final report. And the issues we're grappling with are what are the environmental issues? Where along the coast doesn't make sense to put ocean wind? Where might it make sense? How do we capture the community benefit? How do we capture some of that benefit locally where people are impacted? How do we rationalize the permitting process? How do we create pricing incentives to cause people to invest in ocean wind? How do we do the R&D to develop turbines that work in this environment, to assess their impact on the environment? And then how do we support the economic development side? This has an enormous amount of industrial potential. And the last thing, most of us haven't seen ocean wind. We don't have a sense of the scale of it. It's a heavy green industry. It's very big industry. And what's interesting is it addresses the question of global warming in terms of green energy. It is energy investment. This economy, we're going to recover through energy investment nationally over the next 10 or 20 years. And it's an economic game changer for us. So it's a very interesting proposition, obviously with lots of complications. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Any questions for Don right now?